Amen. Good morning. Good morning. We've been singing and asking to see him. We're singing about angels. And our message today from Daniel just pulls the veil back a bit to give us a vision of things heavenly. And so I'm going to go off my script a little bit because of our songs, and I'm going to read about this one in the book of Revelation. When the Apostle John had this heavenly vision, in verse 12 of chapter 1, after hearing this voice, John says, "I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters." The risen, glorified Son of God. We know him through his word. He is the word made flesh. And in his mercy and grace, he speaks life to us. So let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son, the living word. We come before you. We have been singing songs saying we want to see a glimpse of you. So I ask, Lord, that you open our hearts, open the eyes of our heart, and show us something of yourself that we haven't seen before. You are awesome, and we come, in a sense, with fear and trembling. We see how both John and Daniel were laid on the ground when they saw that vision. So impress on us, Lord, we pray, your word and your will this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's been a great series. It's been so full that people have come up here and opened the word, and we've been seeing God meet us through this book of Daniel. And Daniel now is an old man, and he's before the Lord in mourning and praying. The book of Daniel divides neatly between a record of events that had happened in chapters 1 to 6 and events that would happen in the future in 7 through 12. Some of those things have happened and occurred already, and some are yet future. Chapters 1 to 6 are written in the third person, narrating a story of what happened, and chapters 7 to 12 are in the first person. We hear Daniel say, "I, Daniel." He's an eyewitness, and he is relating his personal experience of visions and dreams, encounters with heavenly beings, and they paint pictures of prophetic events that God is revealing through Daniel. It's written in two languages. It's written in Hebrew and in Aramaic. Chapter 1 is in Hebrew, describing the Jews being taken into captivity in Babylon. Then chapters 2 through 7 are written in Aramaic. So that was the common language of the day. So it's a general revelation to the world. They express to the world how Yahweh is the only true God through the experiences of great kings of empires. And then the language returns to Hebrew in relating to God's people on future events to give them understanding and hope. The Apostle Peter said, "We have the prophetic word confirmed," or made more true, if that is possible. It's confirmed because he and his close disciples saw the transfiguration of Jesus. They saw scripture fulfilled in their time. So he said, we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And so the prophetic word is something that Daniel is imparting to us from God. When the days are dark, the saints have the prophetic word to illuminate our path so we can prepare for what is coming and hold fast to our hope. Between a quarter and a third of the Bible is considered prophecy. However, in one sense, all scripture is prophetic, in that they represent God to the people. You see, the prophets represented God to the people, and the priests represented the people to God. And so there's Jesus who came as very God, as sovereign. So he was king, he was prophet, and he was priest. And so the written words of God, he's the living word. The written words of God, in that sense, are the prophetic scriptures. And it's amazing. In terms of foretold events, according to David Pawson, there are 735 different events predicted in the Bible. So far, 596 have come true to the letter. That's over 80%. Of the 139 or so that are yet to be fulfilled, most of them are concerned with the end of the world, so they are future. And of those that could be fulfilled up until today, 100% have been fulfilled. It's amazing. People talk about Nostradamus and these vague things and apply prophetic worth to those things. There is nothing and nobody that can tell the future, only God. There are only a few things left to happen before Jesus returns in person. He's going to establish God's kingdom on earth. That one event has been mentioned in Scripture 318 times, more than any other, that Jesus Christ will return. He's coming back, saints. He's coming back for a bride. He's coming back for a people that are waiting for him. So let's turn to today's text. We're in Daniel chapter 10, and for a start, we'll look at verses 1 through 3. Daniel 10, 1 through 3. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So what's happening here? From our series on Ezra and Nehemiah, we know that in the first year of King Cyrus, the command went out for the Jews to return to Jerusalem and build it. But things didn't go that well. There was opposition. Things had stalled. And no doubt Daniel was aware of this. So in the third year of Cyrus, Daniel set himself to fast and pray. By now, Daniel was an old man in his 80s. He had been taken from his home as a teenager. and had diligently faced Jerusalem and prayed three times a day. How he must have longed to return. He'd studied the scriptures and seen them fulfilled in his own days, and now things had stalled. No wonder he mourned. He had prayed for the return of his people, yet Daniel never got to go back to Jerusalem. You know, it's easy to read Daniel and think that amazing things were happening one after another, but in reality, there were only about five experiences in Daniel's life spread over 70 years of this nature. Daniel worked in a secular job as a public servant and glorified God through his work. He certainly fulfilled the calling of the Jews to be a light to the Gentiles. We too, in our everyday jobs, can have an impact for God. We too, when the world presses in on us and things don't go as we had hoped, can follow Daniel's example, which is also our calling, to fast and pray for God's purposes. Daniel understood the message. It was going to take a long time, but still he prayed. So the onus is on us, saints, as the church, to understand God's message in our day, to fast and to pray, aligning ourselves with God's plan and working for its fulfillment. So in looking in our text today, our aim is to see what it meant in its context for Daniel in his day, and then look at how it might apply to us in our day. So we'll go on to Daniel 4 through 9 in chapter 10. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Euphrates. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in colour, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me. For my vigour was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Wow. How similar is that to John's vision? There's lots of conjecture about this vision that I won't enter into. Some believe it's a pre-incarnate Christ. Others believe it's an angel that they're allowed to see in heavenly garb. I personally believe it was Jesus. Daniel 10:10 through 12. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking his word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Prayer is effective. God hears our prayers. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God hears our prayers. When God reveals himself to us, it can be overwhelming, like with Daniel. We can feel afraid, alone, and frightened. Wait for him. We too need to feel his touch, to hear his words of love and be strengthened. Reading on in verses 13 and 14. So on the first day that he was set to pray, this wonderful, awesome figure was sent to Daniel. But we read here, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. So here we have a window opened into the heavenly realm. Daniel's prayer set things in motion in the spiritual realm. We don't see it, but it happens. War broke out in heaven between God's angels and the principalities and powers over that region. Isn't it amazing to see the results of Daniel's prayer? His prayer set the heavenly realm in motion. The church, that is the church, has a part to play in prayer and establishing God's purposes. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We wrestle. It's full body contact in a way. It's one of the thing that absorbs and requires all the muscles and bones in the body when they wrestle. And so it's strenuous, but we don't use our physical muscles. It's the prayer of the righteous in faith, according to the revealed will of God. I think we need to listen again to the great message Jason gave us last week on prayer. I think I need to hear and look through those steps, praying according to God's word, praying according to his purposes. Daniel's vision was about what would happen to his people, Israel, in the latter days. If these things are to happen in our day, what part has the church to play? I wonder. We need to see the difference between the things that are spoken for Israel and what we are to do as the church. So often through the centuries, the church has wrongly applied things referring to Israel to itself. Years ago, I learned a rhyme about Daniel. I wonder if any one of you heard it. It goes something like this. Darius the Mede was a king and a wonder. His arm was iron, his voice was thunder. He kept great lions in a lion's den, and he fed the lions on Christian men. See, whoever wrote that had applied this thing that happened many centuries before there was a name of a Christian to themselves. The church is grafted into the root of Israel, but we don't replace Israel per se. There are many promises remaining for Israel as a nation. The church likes to apply the blessings of Israel to itself while leaving the judgments and persecutions to Israel to face on her own. There are some shining exceptions that didn't do that, like Corrie ten Boom and her family. They were prepared to walk and suffer with Jews through their trials and give them succour and safety. Reading on in Daniel 10:15-17. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, Because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I've retained no strength. For how can the servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. The future of Israel that Daniel saw in the vision was overwhelming to him. It left him speechless and without strength. He needed God's messenger to touch him and strengthen him and tell him what was noted in the scripture of truth. Could Daniel be a type of Israel in these days? And could the church, the body of Christ, be used by God as a messenger to impart life and love and strength to her? And tell Israel what is noted in the scripture of truth, saying, your God will come. Are we not called to move Israel to jealousy by showing her the reality of their risen Messiah in our life? It's about the Jews, but I believe the church has an integral part to play on their behalf in the last days, but only in his will and strength. In our own strength, on our own initiative, we can achieve nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do no thing. Now, Daniel 10, 18 through 21, the finish of the chapter. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. Our verses at the end of this chapter today ends with what sounds like the messenger's desire for someone to uphold him in the spiritual conflict on Israel's behalf. No one upholds me. Maybe Daniel's prayers were ones that brought him through. Maybe Daniel was upholding him, in a sense. No one upholds me. He must return and fight with the prince of Persia, and after that, the prince of Greece will come. And I think we could add the prince of Rome and on down to the last war, which is yet future. We read about that in Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation 12, 7 through 11, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. In heaven, Michael and his angels fought and cast out the devil and his angels to the earth. However, there is an entity on earth referred to as they. They that overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It's very similar to what we read in Daniel 10. There's a kind of unity between what it was happening in heaven and on earth. They were upholding Michael and his angels in prayer, perhaps. In the New Testament, the church is often exhorted to be overcomers. And there are promised rewards to those who overcome. These ones overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. In 1 John 5, verses 4 to 5, it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Now, to overcome is a process in the life of faith. As we walk through the trials of this life in faith, we learn more and more to abide in Christ, who is seated far above all principality and power. His character is worked into our lives by his Spirit as he fashions our hearts individually. And as we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the works of the flesh. Our safety is in Christ. His favour is for us, and he preserves our life. Jason showed us last week that the law stands against Israel in her rebellion, and it continues to this day. But there is a set time for God to favour Israel and have mercy on her. In Psalm 102, which is the Holocaust Psalm, that time is given. Psalm 102, verses 13 and 14, speaking of God, "You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favour her, yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favour to her dust." So the language is cryptic, but it speaks of Zion being reduced to stones and dust. And yet there is a separate entity referred to as God's servants who show mercy and favour to Israel in her devastated state. When God sees that, the set time has come. Likewise, in Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones, which verse 11 expressly refers to Israel in a hopeless state of dryness and death, there is another entity, a son of man, that is required to speak life into them. Ezekiel 37:11, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off.'" If the messenger told Daniel of these things, it's no wonder he mourned and prayed. But this son of man is required to prophesy to the bones that they may live. God could well have brought Israel to life on his own, out of their extremity. But he uses another as his agent to bring God's Spirit to minister life. Ezekiel 37:9-10. "Also he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord Yahweh, come from the four winds of O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army." Maybe there is a son of man company that have received the resurrection life of God themselves, that can speak the word of life to an unbelieving Israel in their extremity when God commands it. It takes life to impart life. That's the challenge of the church, to become the thing in itself, to have the very life of God in order to impart it to others. These promises of life bring a great comfort to those who feel they have lost hope and are cut off. At the start of our chapter, Daniel was mourning, fasting, praying on behalf of his people, and God sent a messenger to him. The vision left him without strength, with no breath in him, but he received a touch of life and strength and love. He was an old man. He didn't get to go back to Jerusalem in this life. But in the last chapter of Daniel, it says he received rest and assurance that he would arise at the end of the days, and he will see Jerusalem in glory. And through Daniel's experience, we are shown just how important prayer is. It can open up resources in heaven to God's people. In the context of his day, Daniel was interceding and praying into the situation of his people struggling in Jerusalem. War broke out in heaven, and the great angel Michael came to fight for them. However, Daniel received more than he was asking for. He was shown what was in the distant future. So what of our day? As we pray and seek God, we know that he has heavenly help for us as well. We also can expect life and strength and love through a heavenly touch. As we look in the scriptures, the future is revealed to us to bring hope. Whether we see it in our life now or in the next, our future is secure. Looking at the world, we see dark clouds gathering, but we have the prophetic word made more sure. It's a light that shines in a dark place. And as we walk with our Lord and with each other, our own part to play will be revealed in our service to him and his people Israel. Also, today we have issues in our own lives, in our fellowship, in our community. There is sickness, relational problems, financial stress, anxiety. There are a number of different things that impact these issues. But this episode in Daniel's life lifts the veil on the spiritual component that can be involved. The enemy is still at work to plague the people of God. And Jason reminded us last week that we need to put on the whole armour of God in Ephesians 6, 11 to 18. There's been some communication among the elders, and we have a sense that we should be interceding and praying corporately into these areas for our own people. Tomorrow evening is the first Monday of the month prayer meeting here, and we will have the opportunity to do so. Come along as you can. And so as we leave Daniel and next week, we look to Fritz for the next chapter, and then AJ. Let's be aware of the heavenlies around us, of the situations that are dear to our heart, the situations in our church family and our other families, our relationships. And let's go to and play our part in invoking the living God on their behalf and ours. Let's pray. Loving Father, as we read these words, there's a little revealed, but there's much more that we don't know. We can't see all these things, but you do. And so we come before you. We humble ourselves before you. We seek your face. We know through your word that you look at us as dearly beloved as you did Daniel. We thank you for your word and the life that you give. We ask that you open our eyes further and show us more and more of what you would have us to do. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for so great a sacrifice. We bless you and praise you. Amen.